could see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
Oh yeah.
It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon, the Bible study. Welcome. And we're back at it here on this Wednesday night. Just been plugging on it now for 5 years, man, 5 days a week. Pretty much on average 3 hours a day for 5 years. What in the world, where did time go? It's all I've been doing for 5 years now. I've lost track. It's broadcasting. Bible study, broadcasting, warning people the coming of the tide that's going to change our lives. It could be this generation. Maybe God'll say no. Maybe they'll say no. Maybe they'll say, well, we don't want to do it yet because people aren't ready. You know, they have a deadline. Actually, they have a date that's established officially. They have what's called, the Illuminati has what's called the externalization of the hierarchy. Term made up by Alice Bailey. Externalization, externalize. Internal is one opposite, external, to externalize. The hierarchy of the fallen angels. So they're internal right now. They're hidden. They're in the shadows, controlling everything. So then what does it mean to externalize them? That means they're going to come out into public view, where everybody in the earth will recognize them, will hear about them, will be amazed and all this and all that. The date is 2025. They have a date that's officially put in their textbook. as 2025. Everything's based on that particular date. And that's their planning, though. God's always got other plans. So the point is, that's their plans. But the point is, it's all in God's time. But then again, for them to exercise their agenda, the generations of man, they would rather accept first what they got to offer. That means the thinking of each generation must be changed to match the humanist manifesto and the New Age thinking process. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. That's why Victoria Osteen came out with Make Yourself Happy. Man, that is textbook. So why did she come out with that? For the very reason I'm telling you, to test the public reaction, to see what would be the outcry or not, who would and who wouldn't. Then, of course, they backpedal afterwards because they tested the population to see what they would do before they exercised the next Hegelian dialectic to bring us to the New Age movement. And what's holding them back? You all baby boomers, and how you trained your children for the values that were taught to you by your parents, that's driving them crazy. The Illuminati wants to get rid of that thinking of sovereignty, patriotism, family values. Now it has to go away. That's how they test it. So the year 2025... So, for example, let me show you exactly how this works. So go ahead. Who's the ones holding them back? Well, the 60s changed the culture. Quite a bit, actually. As designed. 2025 minus, say, I don't know, 1952. That means the baby boomers are in their 80 years old, give or take. So they figure, they anticipated this. So they figure, let's cut that back. So they'll die around 60 years old or 70 at the latest. Make sure they die. Let's make cancer, and they did in the laboratory. Let's put aluminum and fluorine in the water. Let's put cancer in the cigarettes. Let's put drugs out there. They did everything in the world to make it to where the baby boomers, who brought with them the values taught to them by their parents that were in the Korean War and World War II. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what they did. To use all these factors to kill off the baby boomers, change the thinking with the music, the drugs, the 80s, the 90s. It's all designed at Tavistock to chip away the values that the baby boomers were taught. It gets little and little for each generation. Case in point. They did a survey. They published a survey. And they said, quote, survey says, had to throw that in there, most non-Christian millennials have never read the Bible. They want to know that, because they use that to decide when to take the next generation to the next stage. Family, I'm not making this up. This is exactly how they work. So they want you, baby boomers, just die, man. Just die and go away. And that's where Chester Pierce comes in 1973. When he said to those teachers, 2,000 teachers, that every child comes to school to age of 5 is mentally ill. Because he comes to school and he names, as you heard me today, all the values the baby boomers were taught by their family members that were proverbial nuclear family. They come to those values at 5 years old. Well, 5-year-old don't have those values. He's not even aware yet. So what he's saying is, we want you to eliminate all the values of the baby boomers that their children passed on to their children to start making these children available more adaptable to the New Age movement. That's what he's pretty much saying, International Child of the Future. This is heavy, what I'm telling you. This is amazing. Planning is all right there. That survey proves it. They check so they can pull this off without a hitch. They want free will. Y'all got it now. You see, it's free will. They want you to accept Satan and take the oath. It has to be free will. They can't sneak it in you. You have to want it. You have to say, well, yeah, of course. I mean, I'll take that mark, you know. Yeah, I'll take the tattoo and all this and all that. And all. Lucifer? Well, yeah, okay, he's a good guy, right? Yeah, oh, okay, who's Lucifer? Oh, okay, whatever. That's what they want. So each generation has been plotted decades ahead. TV, arts, science, everything. 40 techniques of the Illuminati to turn them into what they want and go to the next level. People only knew how detailed this was planned. In minute detail. You know when? 1st of May, 1776. Adam Weishaupt planned it in excruciating detail. But they have not been able to pull it together because God won't let them until this time. Tonight, we're going to cover some exciting stuff, I hope. I hope. Demonized Christians. See, I get right down to it. I guess all my subjects are basically getting right down to it. I'm stirring something up. I don't know what I'm stirring up, but there's some people taking interest in somehow. I don't know why. Because I'm a small guy, right? Well, no, I'm getting bigger. I got to start eating a lot of lettuce. But in any case, there's some people taking notice of something. I don't know. I don't really care if people don't like it. As long as I can support what I say. If they don't like it, that's not my problem. But as long as I tell the truth, is all that matters. I can make a mistake. And if I do, y'all tell me now. But family, get ready. There's something coming. And ignoring it's not going to go away. And you all here now, you're not ignoring it. You got your own studies and you all your own experts in your own right. I'm not an expert. I make up for it by improvising and studying and learning every day, little by little. But I'll look at it as I'm going to apply it in the future. And sometimes you apply it anyway when someone comes up to you and asks you questions out of nowhere. God's testing you. See, God tests you too. Let's get started. Lord, we thank you for today, Bible study, Father, that we come together before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, to guide us tonight in this Bible study to learn how the enemy operates, Lord, that we can defeat the enemy. Lord, we pray for our brethren that we prayed for in the past, Virginia and the friends and relatives or friends of Sister Mac and Virginia tonight. We pray for others with the Father that is in our hearts that you'll heal them, you'll guide them, Lord. And for us, Father, to protect us with the blood of Jesus around us as we get closer to these times. The attacks come subtly. Sometimes they come directly. But Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom and discernment. And give us the words to speak. And Lord, the knowledge from the Bible in our hearts that we can answer to every question. And Father, if we don't have it, Father, you will know later you'll give it to us. And Father, we can lead others to Jesus by giving us the right words and the right ways to do it. And Father, we ask you for a blessing this week and for other Bible studies until the time comes, Father, that we put it to use. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, a little trade secret. It's just me. You know, what I do. From my own knowledge, my own methods. You do what you want. But me, when I do mine, a theme will come up somehow. People bring it up, or I'll hear it two or three times. At least three times, there's a confirmation. And you kind of get the idea that this is what God wants you to look at or be prepared for. So I call it future studies. And what I'll do is I'll put up on my computer, on my folder, as they call them, and I'll put a study on, for example, the abolitionist movement, where they're abolishing abortion. I don't trust them because it's a movement. So I did a study. I got a study folder, study on depopulation folder, study on destruction of family folder, a study on generational curses folder, study on the following, manipulation of generations, manipulation of the population, paganistic humanism, promoting suicides, racial manipulation, spiritual warfare, translation and quickening of the body. I'll start a study on that. And the UFO and coming deceptions. So then when I get articles I'll focus on that study and I copy paste and search out articles for it and against it, to where I come up with some kind of synthesis, conclusion. And when I get a conclusion, then I'll look up other areas to defeat my conclusion. I'll find ways to discredit it. That's how I do it. And I put it all in these folders. That's how I do it. Otherwise, so when I say something, I've got a folder on it. You see what I mean? So when someone says blah, 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 and I say blah, 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 and I say, well, prove it. Okay. Or I don't believe it. You will see the evidence? I can do that. I just pull out the folder and, all right, send it to you. There you go. Make up mind. Make up your own mind. If they say, no, I don't want to see, I made them have to say it. Do you want to see the evidence, which I have? And if they are forced to say, well, no, I don't really, no, I don't want to see. They're denying. It means they're saying, I don't want to know. So that means their subconscious will acknowledge that it's going to work on them. You see, that's how you do it. And so the Holy Spirit gets to moving on it. They have to admit to themselves subconsciously, no, I don't want to know what I'm afraid of. You see how it works? So that works. I'm a Christian. How dare you say I'm demonized? Yeah, well, oh, really? Then try about all the churches nowadays. A demonized Christian, didn't say possessed now. There's a big difference in being possessed and being demonized. The rituals they go through to becoming possessed is just absolutely mind-boggling. They go make a circle around this one individual. I don't know if I'll tell you about this, but one individual on all fours with robes on, nothing underneath. You got it? Goes around a circle on an altar saying all these rituals. And, well, there's some female witches, whatever, that sort of get him kind of stirred up a little bit. You know what I mean? And when the time he's about stirred up, he jumps up on that altar and does a little bit of an act of such. And this is an abomination to God, you might want to know. And that act itself helps the possession, opens up a portal in his body, to say the very least. And he becomes possessed. Sometimes they'll sacrifice. They got to do it around this pentagram and all this other crazy stuff. I'm being very cryptic on it, really. I'm leaving you to think other things or whatever, but I just don't want to go into it. But I'll tell you exactly how it is, but I don't want to do that. It's bad news. You'd be surprised who does this. Teachers and doctors and lawyers and people you'd never think and so forth are involved in this. Covens, you'd be surprised how many teachers, nurses, lawmakers, all kinds of folks, people going to church, pretending that's this facade that's used. And this curse carries down their family. You know, you just wonder, can a Christian be demon-possessed? You know, the Greek word for possessed is the word echo, E-A-C-H-O. Possessed is echo. And in the context of demons, it means to have or to hold possession of the mind or to be closely joined to a person or a thing. And the Greek word echo, E-C-H-O, is used in places like Luke 8:27. In Luke, what I say it was, as if you're going to answer me, Luke 8:27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs on the graveyard. Of course, you get kind of the sense there that the person's thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors were echoing the demonic spirit that had possessed him. Echo. You could almost say the same thing as being overshadowed or channeled. That's where the New Age disciples or the monks do their meditation, allowing the demonic possession of the fallen angels to come inside them to talk through them. They're trained for that. That's what these monks are about, anyway. I guess shaving their head hair off makes it easier to jump inside their brain. I don't know. The New Testament contains two Greek words for oppressed. And one is a Greek word called thauo, T-H-R-A-U-O, thauo, which means to break into pieces. Used to describe mystery of Jesus, the word appears in Luke 4:18. I got so many little doodads on my. I got like three computers up here, and I got mouse all over. I got a cell phone. One day I was trying to move my mouse with my darn phone, and I couldn't imagine why the mouse wasn't moving. I realized it's my cell phone. That's bad. Your cell phone don't move a mouse. The cat will move a mouse, but not a cell phone. So 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I thought he came here. Osteen told me that he came here for us to live an abundant life. Well, I guess he might have been wrong, huh? And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the other word for oppressed, of course, I was kidding about Osteen, you know that. The other word for oppressed in the Greek word is katandosterio. I think I really got that right. K-A-T-A, kata, D-U-N, A-S-T-E-U-O, and it means to exercise power over someone. Oh, that hits a home run on that definition. That's why Colonel Mandel House, over Woodrow Wilson, when they say they have an alter ego of another person, that's what they're talking about. is possession. That's what Beyonce says about Sasha Fierce that comes on to her supernaturally when she does her acting and does her dancing and all that. She says that this entity, this spirit named Sasha Fierce, comes inside her and changes her completely. She admits it. Okay, so then this is not uncommon. This is actually what happens. Acts 10, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That were oppressed of the devil. See the cause right there. So, as Christians, not to be confused with Christianity, which is different, actually. Think about it. 37,000 different sects of Christianity. 37,000. They got different beliefs. That's religion. People haven't picked up on this. Being a Christian is not about Christianity. Being a Christian is a follower of Christ. So, as Christians who follow Christ, Jesus Christ, he cannot be possessed in the sense that a demon would control your minds or actions. So what they try to do is put drugs in you, use technology, cause you to put a curse on yourself so you can be controlled. That's what all this activity on the outside is all about. Because when we receive Jesus, your body's become the house of the Holy Spirit inside you. If that happens, you're not going to commit suicide either. So in other words, we are already in God's possession, so nothing else can take possession of us. So that kind of brings in a little bit of interesting point of once saved, always saved. If you're really saved, just because you say the words of the sinner's prayer, it don't mean you're saved. You have to mean it in your heart, and God knows your heart. We don't. Humans don't. See, believers can be oppressed by the coming of the control of a demonic spirit, and can actually have their lives broken into pieces through a lifestyle of sin. MK Ultra, mind control, they do this. They traumatize a child and they fragment their personality and character into different people so that they won't remember what the other person of their ego or their other person went through. So they come up with another identity within themselves to hide that which was hidden because of the trauma that is associated with it. That's how they do the mind control. The trauma they produce is unbelievable. It would have to be, actually. So it's very important to mention that when we talk about the spirit realm, our understanding sort of tends to be limited to the natural laws of the visible world. We seek to be supernatural. The supernatural seeks to be physical. And they trick us, or try to, into giving up your body so they can feel and express themselves physically. So we tend to explain spiritual realities with nice and neat definitions that fit our human vocabulary. And you know, when we argue over the meaning of specific words in original languages, they'll never find that because original languages in the Bible were, the copies were made of the originals, which were hundreds of years old even then, were destroyed, but they made exact copies. So we go to the originals, which they don't have. You say Yahweh and Yeshua in the Hebrew tongue mixed in with English. It makes us feel intelligent, well-informed. But there's a trick behind it. I've talked about that before. The spirit will not stay in these well-defined boxes. The spirit, supernatural. Call it the God particle if you want to, but God's in control. Anybody's experienced a demonic realm, or even the angelic realm of any kind, will tell you that our vocabulary is insufficient to describe the realities of this dimension. And there's three: third heaven, second heaven, and the first heaven. First heaven's on earth. Second heaven is the physical universe, where the fallen angels can reside because the radiation is too great for flesh, but supernaturally they can live out there on the planets. They can take form. There's no aliens. There's fallen angels. And they existed before man. They existed before the earth. It doesn't say in the Bible how long. Not our business anyway. You have the principles like the laws of physics that make our world somewhat predictable with formulas and all that. Somebody jumps off the roof of a building. The law of gravity dictates that person's destiny. That's why they say one of the last things you ever hear old country boy say, "Hey, y'all, watch this." Generally the last thing you hear. But you know, what goes up, it's got to come down. Those are principles that God set up. The spirit operates on a superior level that actually transcends our laws of physics. You know, I just realized that the study tonight really is closely associated with the study of the translation of the body. Would it not? So this would kind of fit in with my study on translation of the body, that Enoch, who was translated. When you start making a study of that, you find out that part of the definition of translation is manipulation of RNA and DNA. Yeah. But this activity of transcending the law of physics makes it kind of difficult to describe things like demon possession or oppression, because the spirit world is not confined to space and time. To make it even more unbelievable, they put it in movies and TV and horror stories so you'll shut down on it or find it entertaining, associated with drama and fiction. So when they talk about it in the Bible, it's not really real. This is done on purpose. It's by association. Haunted houses. Oh, yeah, haunted houses. To get you used to it, put it in the TV. Bewitched. Charmed. All kinds of demonic. Freddy. And not Freddy the Freeloader. Oh, I know. Some of you young folks say, "What the dick is you talking about, boy?" You know, Red Skeleton. Never mind. You know, the Holy Spirit lives in every believer at the same time. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave or forsake us. So the ramifications of this are really quite different than our finite definition of a person living in the house and never leaving. When people have really seen an actual deliverance, it defies the law of physics. The bodies are translated. Bodies that are possessed, their DNA is affected by the extra hertz. No pun intended, actually. But the demonic entity inside can change the body structure to a certain degree that causes the body to be able to bend, in some cases, 180 degrees. Well, there's no joint. Because it's all about particle vibration and molecular structure that's being manipulated. You got it? And doesn't break the body. That's hard to imagine. So when you see these scary movies and they're crawling around on the wall and doing crazy things, actually that's very, very possible. By changing the structure of the DNA or structure of the particles. You could change a polluted ocean. A polluted stream, which is what they're going to do. by changing the frequency vibration by transmitted ELF transmissions at a certain wave frequency, can immediately change the water from dirty to pure, or from water to wine, or rock or iron to gold, just by changing the frequency vibration. But they have to know the correct frequency and the right amount of energy. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Changing the mass, the energy is manipulated. You know what it is? You increase the velocity, c squared, changes the mass. It's real simple, actually. That's how Jonah could have been inside the well. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could be in the fire and not get burned. That's how Enoch was translated. He was taken up alive, as Elijah was. See how it works? So when you see, and this is where they tell them about this, how they've, Freemasons know about how they can manipulate this by alchemy, sacred geometry, etc. So now, they're told on Star Trek that people aren't told that these inventions, devices, is for the future, actually work. So when they see Star Trek, that's what Star Trek is all about. To entice and entice the Freemasons. So when you see old Bones go up with that tricorder thing and he's going to repair something or diagnosis, that's what they're talking about. That's how that works. You got a tumor, a certain frequency vibration projected in the body can dissolve that tumor because it changes the frequency vibration of the tumor or the disease or healing of, because healing of a broken blood vessel or something by changing the vibration by the device that exerts energy at a certain level of wave vibration. See how that works? But see, God does it naturally through Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. That's what healing is really about. Not Reiki. Only thing about Reiki, about now, when the leaves are out there, I can Reiki all day, I guess. You know, another reason why the behavior of the spirit world is difficult to define is that demons are lawless and evil by their free will. Kind of like criminals in our world who break the laws of the land. The evil spirits often break God's spiritual laws. That's why he prayed on the prayer on the cross about humankind. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Because the demons and the fallen angels, they do. Because they're supernatural. So, policing the spirit realm by enforcing God's principles. Don't we sometimes get involved in necromancy? You know what that is? It means talking to the dead. We're new creations in Christ, and our old man, sinful man, was buried in baptism, or by Holy Spirit baptism in water, or by Spirit. Holy Spirit can baptize you in the Spirit. Our sin nature was crucified with Jesus Christ. Yet there's believers, actually, that insist on talking to the dead. It's their old man who is dead. They kind of appear to be obsessed with the graveyard of their past as they hang out among the tombs of the dead. The dog not returned to his vomit. Some seem to have forgotten that the angel's exhortation to Mary. She said, the angel said to Mary, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" It's in Luke 24, verse 5. Go back to Lazarus. The believers exited the tomb, but remained bound with the grave clothes of their old flesh. John 11:44. You know, the deeds of the old man, the sinful man, led to the new man being demonically oppressed. Break those chains. Galatians 5:19-21. Apostle Paul. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before I leave, have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then it goes on in Galatians 5:22 to tell you what does. So if you kind of notice here, that sin opens a door for sorcery and witchcraft to invade our lives. Maybe not even know it. You know, the best scriptural example of that's found in the relationship between King Saul and David. He had the armies of Israel returning home from one of the greatest victories of their history. They defeated their arch enemies, the Philistines. David killed the mighty giant Goliath. You've heard of that. Resulted in the Philistine rout, defeat. Then the Israeli army returned home from battle. Women lined the streets of Jerusalem to welcome home their brave soldiers with singing and dancing and all that. The mood was jubilant and celebratory. And then here comes King Saul. He heard the chorus line, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Oops. 1 Samuel 18:7. So what do you think may have happened? Had a little bit of fear going on here and a little bit of jealousy happening too. It really ticked him off. King Saul didn't like that too much. He whined to himself. Verse 18:8. They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but my kingdom? Honeymoon's over, it looks like. So this young man who once exuded humility is now an aging old king, has fear and oppressed with demons because he opened up a portal. Samuel's account of his dejected king is 1 Samuel 18:10. First Samuel 18:10-12. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came from upon Saul. He prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, and at the times, and where there were a javelin in Saul's hands. Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of the presence twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. It was 1 Samuel 18:10. When you start to think, that these are all true. Puts a whole different meaning to the Bible. You know it's true. And not Hollywood. 1 Samuel 18:10. Yeah. First Samuel 18, verse 10. David continued to win battle after battle. Saul became jealous, right? He heard the songs of the women ascribing to David greater exploits than himself. He became livid with rage. And God sometimes, this is what my question was, God sometimes uses evil, allows evil, to chastise evil. That's why he allowed Saul to be tormented by distressing spirits. And twice the king tried to personally kill David. But both times David escaped. Then Saul made him captain over 1,000 soldiers. That's one wanted to clarify. Sometimes God allows evil to work. After all, that's why he's going to chain up Satan for 1,000 years after the Armageddon. Paul reminds us in Galatians 5:21 then that people who live a lifestyle of sin every day will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's like the story that Jesus told in Matthew 18 where the torturers imprisoned the unforgiving servant. Jealousy and fear can release tormentors into our lives. That's why I talked about today. Not to let fear rule you. They cause fear in you. You can be possessed or demonized. That's the purpose of causing you fear, to doubt on a massive scale. So you look back at Saul's life. It's a perfect example of how jealousy blinds us to reality, leads us to form irrational conclusions that finally incinerate our souls. Which, by the way, it brings upon me another thought using the same principle. Quote, beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism, now you got it. Patriotism, indeed a double-edged sword. It emboldens the blood as it narrows the mind. When the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizens. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights unto the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar. Unquote. Falls right in line, don't it? Now hold that thought. That same line. Let's bring it home. Let's put it to use. Yep, how about this? Same principle. Quote, 21 May 1991, Henry Kissinger at a Bilderberg meeting in Evian, France. This is transcribed from a tape recording. Same principle. Listen to this. Quote, today Americans would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. But tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there's an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It's then that all the people of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. Because one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this kind of scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Man, that just follows in line. Bang, bang, bang. Jealousy and fear blinds us to reality and leads us to form irrational conclusions that finally incinerate our souls. Isn't that amazing how they use this? In breaking generational curses, I've talked about this now. Now I'm kind of giving more detail on demonic realm and how they operate through human servers. So when we're working to free people from who are demonized, you must first determine why they are bound. That's why I do a series of questions. Who's your family? Was your family involved in this, involved in that? What you find out about the occult in the family, if at all? What addictions or chains they have? To find out where the weak point is. Are they captives or prisoners? Prisoners are people that invited demons, suppression, into their lives through a lifestyle of sin. And demons know they have permission to wreak havoc in these prisoners' souls until the prisoners repent. And once this prisoner's repented, the devil spirits no longer have any authorization to oppress that person because the roots of the sin have been dealt with. That's what's going on today, as they're not dealing with it. In deliverance, the simple command is to get out. It should cause a demon to leave and the person to be set free. So freeing captives. And the captives then we look at are people who have been captured in battle and held as POWs, right? Well, these people do not have a lifestyle of sin issues in their hearts. Instead, they are bound by lies that they believed. And Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth will make you, free. But the word truth in these scriptures, found by some theologians, refer to reality. A lot of us live in virtual reality, and they make sure of it, like fantasy football. You see, well, that's what that's for. So they get football 24/7. Looks real. Feels real. But it's not real. It's just an illusion. We give the devil permission to punish us because we think his lies are true. Even Swedenborg, a universalist, a man who spoke with angels, he's known as, we know to be the fallen angels, warns us against them, that all they do is lie. Even him, who was part of them. When you're tormented because of lies, you need a revelation of truth and that of God so you can break those chains that bind you. See, prayer works. There's one incident that I read about. There's a teacher around in near Bethel's School of Supernatural Ministry. And through the sermon of one particular theologian, somebody would run up to him and had an urgent message. He said, we ran downstairs together and arrived at the counseling office where they're located there in that area in the school. And there was like 8 people that were praying hard outside the room. And when they went into the room, it was a wild scene. It was a large woman was face down on the floor. One of the strongest maintenance worker was on top of her trying to restrain her. 2 of the counselors were standing up against the wall and the lady's arms wrapped around her legs. She was biting her shoes and growling at them. So it begs the question, why the demons have permission to torment the woman? Was she a prisoner who had sin and or forgiveness issues in her life? Or was she a captive who believed a lie? So when you have questions that you don't have answers, you ask the Holy Spirit to find them for you with faith that he's going to in his time. As to what causes bondages of yourself or bondages of other people. You got to know what the exact bondage is to be able to deal with it. One of the ones receiving prayer was the evangelist, and in his testimony he says, quote, Holy Spirit came into them and said, when she was a little girl, she was told that she blasphemed the Holy Spirit and was therefore banished to hell. So the Spirit continued, it's a lie. I have forgiven her. That's what they're told. That they're going to hell and there's no redemption. Well, I got news for them. If they renounce the blood oath, renounce what they did, God will forgive them. But they got to really mean it, though. The prayer actually worked. She was told that the devil told her that when you're a little girl, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, right? That's a lie, but you renounce that lie. And when they renounced it, the woman immediately calmed down and began to laugh. And within seconds, she's completely delivered. That's going to be coming your way someday if he pulls the plug on this New World Order, and it jumps up. So, when you break spirits with evil spirits, break the contracts. It's not easy once you've gotten contract with the devil, literally. Sometimes you'll brush up against someone or see them and a little word comes in your mind about murder or suicide or car accident or something. Be careful of these thoughts. Test every spirit, whether of God or Satan. Suicide demons are going to start coming out of the woodwork in all kinds of different ways, especially for children. Watch it carefully. And suicide's a killer. No pun intended on that one, but it's increasing quite exponentially. When you're ministering to someone, it's not being a mind reader. It's the Holy Spirit giving you impression. You start hearing voices, you better be worried. That's technology or demonic influence. God gives you not words, but a feeling. And the words are silent. Whoa, it's almost 9 o'clock. What happened? You know, when God created the world, he put humans in charge, commanded them to rule over this earth, Genesis 1:26. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it was not just a matter of disobeying God, but they changed masters by obeying the serpent that flew. The earth was no longer one planet under God ruled by man. Instead, Adam and Eve gave their ruling rights to the devil because they rebelled against God, so they began to die. When Jesus was led in the wilderness to war against Satan, what did the devil say to him? He said, I'll give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to you whomever I wish. devil's right. He'd deceive Adam and Eve and given him the authority to rule the world. But because God gave humankind the dominion of the earth, it'd take a human to get it back. So when Jesus obeyed God by dying on a cross as a man, he wrestled away the keys of dominion away from the devil. That's why he rose from the dead. When he did, Jesus said, quote, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations." Matthew 28, 18, 19. You know, Jesus also said he had full authority, all authority. If he had all authority, that would mean that Satan has none. So we're in Christ. Therefore, we carry out his circumstance. Every geographic location, every situation, and don't you forget it. The only way that Satan has authority is when we give it to him by putting a spell upon ourselves. That's why he works hard day and night, 24/7. To get us to empower him through lies, sin, or covenant agreements. And you know, believers refuse to listen to the devil. However, he becomes a powerless pawn. And this of God's divine purposes. Ephesians 4:27. And we'll leave there. Boy, tonight went by fast. At least for me it did. Wow. It zoomed on by. What did I say? Ephesians? Yeah. In Ephesians, there it is, 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Or don't give an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity. That's where your fight of generational curses we've talked about before comes in. Family, got to go. That hour got up here quickly, didn't it? I won't be back. Won't be live tomorrow or Friday. But I'll be back on Monday, 4 o'clock. And back at it again. Hit the ground running. Y'all have a good night. We're going to close in prayer. And then go our ways. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Lord, to teach us tonight how to deal with this demonic realm. How to, Father, to put on the full armor of God. Lord, to pray that we rebuke in the name of Jesus. To use his power and promises. That, Father, we can defeat the devil, his own game, and through the power of God. Father, we ask you to lead us. Forgive us of our sins. Put us in the right direction. Prepare us for that day when we're going to witness to the world in our own time, in our own place, and, Father, where you place us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the King James Bible. And to keep us all in touch through discernment and wisdom, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, I appreciate y'all coming by. Y'all remember old Freddy the Freeloader, huh? Red Skeleton? Some of you going to say, who? What? Those are the old days. Well, family, y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all. And this week has been quite intense, I do think. You know, the way it works out. And so y'all keep studying, keep doing what you're doing, and just get ready. Because just don't know when God's going to say, okay, that's enough. And that's my turn. Well, you're going to know it'd be worldwide at the same time. because they're really trying to fake these tribulations and events and so forth by technology, supernatural, whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors to deceive us into accepting the fallen angels as Christ, false prophet, as whoever it may be that pops up. In a world to be deceived, where are you going to be when this happens? It could be this generation, or maybe it delayed another generation. Who knows? I mean, that's God's business, none of ours. Ours is a great commission to live and love and care about each other. Until that day, the watchman will continue. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. We'll see y'all later on next week on Monday. Oh, by the way, I remind you then about John Kirkler, who plays our broadcast in our Bible studies. Make sure he reminds you about that. Highportradio.net. Highportradio.net in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's got sponsors, by the way, to help him and to look up those sponsors if you live in those three states, to use those sponsors if you'd like or whatever you want to do. So make sure you know about that. He helps us by just playing the broadcast and Bible studies. So, that being said, website, watchmenforjesus.com, and Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. Y'all have a good night, y'all. And we'll see y'all next week. Drive safe, be careful, and look up, because he's coming back. Why? Because he's alive, that's why. Signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.